It's like, what does that even mean?
Get the lads, Yule out.
Lads. So we know the Yule Lads. Actually, it's funny you should mention this because that was part of my fix for Christmas Chronicles 2, I remember, is that Yule Lads are like this Icelandic thing where it's like there was like this giantess witch. Yeah, there was like a giantess witch and she had a bunch of sons who are called the Yule Lads. And they all have names that describe what they do. Like one of them is like yogurt thief or something like that. It's like he's the guy who steals your yogurt in the morning and shit like that.
By the way, I'm the yogurt thief.
We need to have Guy Ritchie's Yule Lads movie.
I know, get the Yule Lads out.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie presents the Yule Lads. Get this Christmas, get the Yule,
get
Lads,
the Yule Lads out.
I gotta say, I like that it's such a thing that we, like, it's such a joke that we have now, but I do think I'm like 90% sure he doesn't actually say get the lads out in that movie.
I'm sure he doesn't.
He does. He does. It's just it's because there's like soldiers coming in. He's like, you got to get the lads out.
I think he even says get the lads, but I don't know that he says get the lads out. I'd have to see the whole movie top to bottom.
In my head, this is like a play it again, Sam sort of thing where like he never really said it, but like it feels like he should have said it, you know?
Get the lads out is just such a good phrase.
Richieism.
I mean, it's up there with, you know, dance with daddy, get the lads out.
I want to dance with daddy, get the lads out. Sell those cookies, bitch.
Sell those cookies.
Sell those cookies, bitch.
Ho, ho, and welcome to the holiday prelude mini episode of Why Do We Watch This, a podcast where three chums watch a bad, bad, ugly, ugly movie, talk about what they liked, what they didn't like, and how they would fix it. Of course, we'll be doing that 2 weeks from now with our actual Christmas episode. But for now, I am your host, Brendan Drischler.
I'm Lee Delahanty.
And I'm Chris Revell.
And we are gathered here, as I said, for a mini episode where we talk about the movie we will be doing 2 weeks from now for our Christmas episode and also the cocktail we will be making to accompany it. The movie we will be doing this Christmas is the movie we have threatened to do probably every year and then never actually got around to doing because we didn't want to. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's 2004's The Polar Express, directed by Robert Zemeckis, starring Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, Tom Hanks, Tom Hanks, and Tom Hanks.
Now, is it true, and this is a fun fact I've heard. And
is this fun? I look forward to seeing how fun it is.
Is this the first Christmas film to be made inside our collective nightmare?
Yes, I believe.
I mean, probably.
Well, there is Nutcracker also. Lest we forget, there is Nutcracker in 3D. So I don't know. It's a little close between the two of them. I'm not sure which one came first. Polar Express might have preceded it. But to be fair, there are options out there. But so this movie's a real piece of shit. I rewatched it this past week and I had forgotten exactly how terrible it is in almost every conceivable way. And if you like this movie, you're a bad person. That's all I have to say about that for now.
Brian Charland might legitimately like it.
Brian Charland is a bad person. we were all thinking it.
Was this the first of Zemeckis's
mocap bullshits? Yes, it was. Baby, okay. It was followed by Christmas Carol, and then, of course, the beloved classic Mars Needs Moms.
I mean, are we really ignoring Beowulf? How dare you?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Beowulf.
I forgot about Mars Needs Moms.
Everyone forgot about Mars Needs Moms. Audiences immediately forgot about Mars Needs Moms upon leaving the theater.
This is a movie that for so long we've avoided that almost immediately after announcing what we were doing, we leapt to something else.
The Polar Express has that effect on people.
Well, sure we have to do it though, because we can't. Mm-hmm. It's blockbuster movie that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, before we do any more like Hallmark made for TV shit, we really got to get you got to eat your vegetables.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like sometimes like these are obvious targets, but like they must be done sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Like I agree. It would be foolish of us to do another Hallmark movie when this is sitting there on the table.
Staring at us.
Yep,
you have
with
a couple
dead lifeless eyes.
We'll have a couple next year that we might have to consider. Like obviously I don't want to do Red One because I don't want to go see Red One.
Yeah,
I don't
either. That's mostly my reason for not really pushing it. I used about it, but no.
That looks joyless and also bad.
Yep.
Yes. That one looks really bad. There's one with like Jack Black, I think, called like, and Keegan,
Michael
Keegan.
I saw a trailer for that, and I had never heard of this before. I think
these movies come out of the woodwork sometimes. At the 11th hour, it seems.
Yeah, I can't remember if that was streaming or some shit. But I saw the trailer for one.
So yeah, there's like others that are like that are sort of more, I guess, like the cloudy because they have names.
Yes.
In them, where you're like, that's Jack Black, the voice of Claptrap.
Oh.
We all
remember remember how excited all the kids were when Jack Black was playing Claptrap.
You know, the voice of Steve from the Minecraft movie. Yeah. Actually, he's not the way, he just is Steve.
No, he is Steve. He is literally Steve.
Because let's not forget that Minecraft is an isekai now, and there's like real people in the fucking CGI Minecraft world.
I still don't understand why, like, of all the choices to make, why that?
Like, why make him a live person or why make a Minecraft?
Yeah, they're all live people.
Yeah. No, I know. I've seen the trailer too.
Why anything about Minecraft? I would say anything about the Minecraft movie is insane.
You know, we're having this conversation now, but we're in a pre-Skibbity Toilet movie world.
Yeah.
So just pointing that out.
So yeah, let's start adding these on the calendar for next year, I guess. Start penciling them in now because we're going to need to. Anyways, the drink that we will be making to accompany the Polar Express, of course, one needs a drink for something like this to get through it, is called hot chocolate. It is going to be hot cocoa. Just make it as you normally would. Pour it into a mug, and you're going to add an ounce of whiskey, a splash of coffee, and a little piece of chocolate. So it's going to all nice melt in your mug. Get it all delicious. Then add a little dash of orange bitters and cram some marshmallows in there, baby. Yep. And you're going to have hot chocolate. I just want you guys to know, guys, here we only have one rule. Never,
never, ever,
ever let it cool. Keep it cooking in the pot. What do you got?
God, I'm already exhausted.
What do you got?
What do you got?
It's unhinged.
It's so terrible.
One of these days, we're going to have to decide. We're going to have to do like a Tom Hanks unfortunate vocal performance ranking.
I mean, I suspect that will be.
There's that. There's Elvis. There's the Zemeckis Pinocchio where he's a dad.
Right. Well, I mean, to be fair, Pinocchio, he's just basically doing like, oh, he's Italian. Great. Got it. Got the character.
There's kind of
Pinocchio,
a lot of him.
Why are you
like,
losing your strings?
Like freaking out in movies too. Like he's done it. Like he's done some Nicolas Cage level freakouts.
Yes, he has.
And especially in his earlier movies. Have you guys heard of Tom Haim?
No.
It's this like, I've mostly seen it on like, it's like some sort of like one of those like really crappy AI, like not a good trying to fake you AI, but like one of those like really crappy, like it's like a mock-up of his face and like a voice that is made to sound like him, and people just feed him like really insane movie premises for trailers. There's like one about him being a wizard. It's really stupid. It's truly very stupid, but it is like, it gives me a minute of joy sometimes.
I think this will all be fertile material for whenever we do our Thanks to Hanks mini episode next year.
Thanks to Hanks.
It's just 45 minutes of us talking about Tom Hanks.
Our Thanksgiving episode.
No, Thanksgiving.
Yes, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
You have to either say, Hanks, I like it a lot, or no Hanks you.
Anyway, we got to get on with this shit.
Yeah. We're distracted.
Yes, we're distracted. So, as it is, of course, as I said earlier, the prelude to our Christmas episode, we thought, why not just relax and enjoy ourselves a little bit since we're going to be slacking off with minis for the next, for this and the next one anyway, with our closing of the year. Let's relax and enjoy ourselves with a little game. And we'll be doing round 3 of our Hallmark movie generator game. Now, as you may remember, it's a pretty basic premise. It's just sort of, you're picking names at random. This year we've digitized it, so we've got some wheels. Look at these wheels I'm looking at right now. This is great. And so in addition to the 4 wheels we've had before, Lee, could you cycle through those for me, please? So we've got holiday nouns.
Holiday nouns, assorted nouns, holiday adjectives. Wait, I lost one. I'll find it. Should it be assorted adjectives as well?
Yeah. Yes, there is. So it's holiday nouns, assorted nouns, holiday adjectives, assorted adjectives, and Christmas songs. And now, before we get into the additional wheel that we added this year, basically the way this goes is you spin the wheel, you spin at least 2 wheels, so you have at least 2 words, and you must incorporate those 2 words into the title of a pitch for a Hallmark Christmas movie and give us a brief idea for what the movie would be about. We also have Christmas songs as a concept that you can riff off of, take something from that song and use as the basis. And this year we have a sixth wheel, as it were, that Lee just came up with today, which I think is great. Lee, do you want to tell us what that wheel is?
Yes, it's the working woman jobs.
It is a series of jobs women have had in movies akin to this. And while you don't have to incorporate the title of the job into the movie, it has to be part of your pitch, where the woman in your movie must be this
must have the
career.
Job. Yes. I think also if you want to use it as a framework for your title, as an extra challenge, there are movies that incorporate like Deck the Walls was one
of them.
Yes,
exactly. Deck the Walls is one of them this year.
For the one about a decorator or some shit like that.
I also just feel like for the most part, this working woman jobs wheel could apply to like any rom-com from the 90s or early 2000s.
I feel like also for the 90s, though, it would mostly just be journalist.
That's true.
We were very big on journalists.
All right. Well, so do we want to like each pick them and then have like a little brief adjourn to brainstorm, or how do we want to do this?
We can do that.
Okay. So who wants to start? I can spin whatever wheels you want me to spin.
I'll start. Lee, could you give me, first of all, I will say, a assorted noun, a holiday adjective, and a woman job.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm
going
to jot this down, too, so I remember this.
Can you hear a spin?
I cannot, sadly.
Oh, I didn't turn sound on. I
heard a little click, click, click.
Oh, maybe I don't have my volume up high enough.
Vacation.
Vacation.
I'm going to remove vacation. Are you writing these down?
Yes, I am.
All right, I'm going to remove vacation.
Go ahead.
And then you want a holiday adjective or holiday adjective?
Okay. A holiday adjective, please.
Okay.
It's going around, just trying to fill what it would speed that space.
It's golden.
Golden. All right.
Nice.
And a job. A lady job, yeah.
Ooh.
Well,
interior designer.
Early to lose interior designer.
I know, right? That's the
little
big one.
A little bummed. I was kind of hoping for it, but it's okay.
All right. I will start musing on this if Chris, you want to take yours.
Absolutely. Can I get assorted adjective, holiday noun, and woman job? You knew. I mean, I'm just going to have to hit woman job a lot tonight.
Unbelievable. Or not. Wait. Yes, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable that happened is what you mean.
And then holiday what now? Noun?
Holiday noun. So unbelievable.
Jack Frost.
Okay. Oof.
The unbelievable Jack Frost sounds like a sort of like...
Like he's a cad or something?
Yeah. Sounds like the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes.
The unbelievable Jack Frost.
He's
and
cold,
then a job.
Damn it.
It's the North Pole.
And he's a realtor
lawyer.
Now.
Okay.
It's
a lawyer.
It's a lawyer.
I love how this really this really teases you, you know, with like that gradual slide.
It does.
You can
it knows how to build drama.
I think you can customize how long it takes.
So I got unbelievable. Jack Frost and lawyer.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go ham.
And we can add other words, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going wheels all day.
Go wheels all day.
And I'm going to spin one from each wheel and I'm just going to see.
Oh my God, you lunatic.
Just going to see what I can do with that. Incorporate as much of it as I can into the plot and in the title. Okay. That's good. That can be double. Carol can also be a name.
A name,
so that's
exactly.
I got Carol and then a assorted noun. Someone has to do it, so it might as well be me.
Right.
Oh, God. City or town of your choice.
Okay. Well, interesting.
Cozy.
Cozy Carol. I mean.
Cozy, that's a good alliteration already.
Cozy caroling.
Assorted
in Carol.
Adjectives. Oh, my God. Colorful.
I love it.
This is like a title I would actually come up with because I'm obsessed with alliteration. What job do I have to feature? I get realtor. Okay,
realtor.
Well, if it's in a town, then it makes sense.
There you go.
Do some realting in the town. And then what Christmas song is he involved in this title somehow?
You're a mad lad for doing this.
Yeah, you are. You're a true Yule lad.
Okay, have yourself a merry
little Christmas. Yep.
All right, I know what I'm doing.
It is a carol.
The title, I don't know the plot, but I think I'm going to incorporate have yourself as the beginning of the title and then sort of shove the other words in there.
Yeah.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Okay, so we'll just adjourn and have like a little.
Yeah, I think I know what I'm doing.
I know what I'm doing.
I went first, but we'll give you timely because you went last.
All right, I can spitball on the plot whenever.
All right, I think I'm good here too. So, Chris, are you ready?
I am.
All right, I'll go first just because I went first the last time. So my pitch would be called Five Golden Vacations. And it's going to be about a woman who is an interior designer. And what this interior designer wins is ostensibly a contest for a series of vacations across tropical locations, but she doesn't realize that as part of this, she has to actually work to renovate the properties that she's staying at in all of these places to make them look even better. Mm. And of course, she's paired up with a lout who also happens to be there. He's part of the crew who helped set up this, you know, contest or some shit like that. And for whatever reason, he's there too. He's there to oversee and make sure that she does all the interior decorating just the way she's supposed to. And she's gradually working her way toward Christmas Island, where she will be on Christmas Eve. And as she's going along these five islands and improving the various vacation homes she's in, she starts to fall for the hunk.
Ooh.
I know, you didn't see it coming.
I'm blown away.
Is this guy that put this on, is he sort of like a shyster? Did he sort of like do this as a way to get someone to help with the renovation?
I hope so.
The twist was just that he owned five houses and needed someone to renovate them. So he ostensibly created a contest.
Listen, like, I can't do this on my own.
Yeah.
And this is the only way I know how to get help.
Yes, that will be the end of Act Two falling out moment.
Yeah, it was like a rom-com con plot.
Yes,
where it's like,
exactly. But yeah, I did fall in love with you.
I did need someone to like help. I can't lift these boxes by myself. But
yeah. Yes, I lied.
I don't understand color
really
theory.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be the protagonist thing. They're like, oh my god, you're so brilliant when it comes to colors.
You just know the colors. I know them all. Red, blue, green. I know them all.
Her claim to fame could be like, you made red and green go together in a way that felt chic and not corny.
It's classic yet traditional.
Oh my god. Wah. I love that.
Yeah, I love that's that for good. You.
Do you still need a time lane?
I'm good. So okay. I'm gonna just kinda freestyle the plot as I go, but I have the basic go.
Okay. Well,
I'm Lee Delahanty and I'm here to say it's fun to pitch Hallmark movies.
In a crazy way.
In a crazy way.
My movie is going to be, this is going to be on the more fantastical end.
Oh.
Jack Frost Esquire in The Unbelievable Christmas. So here's the deal, everyone. It's the beginning of a franchise. We're going to follow the continued adventures of Jack Frost Esquire. Her full name is Jacqueline. She really hates it when people make that joke, you know, but that's mostly a sign of how insufficiently she loves Christmas. So when this like local business magnate decides, well, you know what, like, screw Santa Claus, I'm going to make that real and do it myself, because he doesn't believe in Santa Claus, but Santa Claus is real. And he approaches Jack Frost Esquire to take on the case. But wouldn't you know it, Santa Claus isn't, you know, like an old man who's just been building toys for hundreds of years. No, he has a
books.
Yeah, he's like crazy dreamboat hunk. In my mind, I'm like, well, he could still be big, but knowing this is like Lifetime/Hallmark, it'll be like cartoon muscles, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
of course.
Hairless as well. Of course,
well,
Yul Brynner
style?
So of course, you know, they fall in love like while the case is going on. Basically, this business magnate is creating what Santa would like to argue is copyright infringement, doing a fake Christmas. And Jack Frost is like, well, I don't know if you can trademark Christmas. And I'm not gonna have that play out on screen, but that is gonna be basically, it's like, well, it's okay to trademark Christmas if it's Santa Claus doing it.
Boy, and the Supreme Court's really going to catch hell for that one.
Yeah, sure will. But you know what? In a post-Citizens United world, anything goes.
That's right.
And then, yeah, we just end with, you know, she's like, I guess I do love Christmas after all, because now I'm a Claus. And finally, she's not giving up. either her last name for title reasons, and she will continue lawyering.
Naturally.
Natch.
There you go.
I do kind of love the idea of Hallmark someday doing like a straight legal drama about a woman having to represent Santa Claus to like prove he exists or something.
What would it be like? Like slightly sexier Miracle on 34th.
Right, yeah. It's like Miracle on 34th Street, but for idiots.
Yeah.
Well, and they don't fuck necessarily, but they kiss.
No, of course they kiss. They must kiss, yes.
It's Miracle on 44th Street with kissing.
Yes.
Yep. Above board.
Above board. All hands up here.
Hands where we can see them, everyone. The judge starts pounding his gavel. Hey.
Kissing is above board.
Get those hands up.
Oh, okay. Lee? Take it away.
All right. All right. Well, it's going to be called Have Yourself a Colorful Cozy Carol. And Carol is the name of a village. I mean, I think it would be in England or somewhere more exotic. Mm-hmm. I am picturing one of these places, like, for example, like Lapland, like where they would get utterly swamped at Christmas and it's like otherwise nobody lives there. Or like any sort of touristy place where it's like some people just live there and they live there all year round. But like a lot of it has just been taken over by a tourism and and it's like what kind of happens to the magic of a place or just the lives of the people who just live there, who get to live in that place. Like what's the balance between this is I'm just getting really philosophical early on. But like, what is the balance between like being able to sort of share this, you know, cozy, picturesque, beautiful place and letting people that live there, you know, have their peace.
Right.
And have it just be a normal village and not just like destroy it for the sake of having Starbucks and other amenities that tourists need, et cetera. So I think that this is one of those type of towns. And I think that the female lead who is also named Carol gets assigned this job to like, listen, I don't understand. I put realtor on here. I roughly know that they deal in property. Mm-hmm. I don't really understand
they
what
sell
goes on.
Or lease property.
So I think what I'm picturing is like some sort of deal to either build maybe like a big retail complex or perhaps like condos or Airbnbs, like something that's only going to be used for like vacation homes or something. Mm-hmm. And it's something that is maybe causing consternation with the local community because they're just like, we're losing more and more of this town and it is becoming less special because of all this nonsense, etc. And that will be sort of headed by, so let's say this is in England. I think I'm going to have like a street performer who is a local from like a nearby town or whatever. He does a busking or something, but that's not like his job. That's not like his living.
That's his passion.
That's his passion is he does this for fun. And so he might appear to be like sort of a lowly street performer when she first meets him, but like everyone in the town knows him. And it turns out that maybe he's like either a well-respected career person of himself, like of some other type. Maybe he's like a barrister or maybe he is also like some sort of not like local political figure, but like, you know, community pillar in some
fashion.
I'm just
saying, do I smell a crossover if they are a barrister with Jack Frost? I'm just saying.
maybe. And so I think that, yeah, like she's there to sort of do this, like, you know, evil realtor deal of like, you know, working for these people who are greedy and want these like vacation homes built or again, like retail complex to just, you know, support the tourism industry that's there. And she's gradually wooed by the charm of this place. And I think probably ends in one of those endings where they like find some historical classification
that forbids them from doing whatever she initially wanted to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Where they can like stop doing the evil thing. And she decides to stay to like move there and do her realting elsewhere.
Become whatever they call a realtor in England.
Yeah. And if, since colorful's in the name, let's say that the lights are a part of it. Maybe they have like they put a lot of effort into their lights. And that's a big part of what makes it so special. But yeah, that's what I think I'm going with.
It's a bit of all right.
It's a bit of all right.
All right. So we'll do round two, and then do you want to do a mega round at the end like we did previously where we like all pick one thing and then have to group come up with a...
Sure. Yeah, let's do another round.
So for my next round, give me a holiday noun, a Christmas song, and a job again.
Holiday noun.
Holiday noun.
You almost got Yule Cat.
Oh, God. I would have fucking loved Yule Cat Christmas,
baby.
Wow,
you got Christmas. Congrats.
I got Christmas. I'm a basic bitch, and I love it.
song and then
song,
and
please.
Job.
Yeah. Yep.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, I want this for you.
This is going to be difficult.
I mean, I think it counts if it's in the thing already.
I guess so. I'm trying to think of a way around it, though.
We Christmas you a Merry Christmas.
A Merry Christmas. That's what I was exact. I was literally thinking that.
Up.
Oh, Baker.
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 All right.
Perfect.
All right.
We bake you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, there's also that, too.
Chris, what are we doing?
Okay. Why don't we go holiday adjective, mm-hmm. assorted noun, job.
Okay. You get cheery.
Okay. So far, so good.
Assorted noun.
And you know what? We're going to go wild. After you give me job, also give me a Christmas song.
Cheery couple.
Okay. Cheery couple.
Mm. And then a job.
Yeah. Which I don't have to include in the title, but it does need to be at
right.
least a part
it's
of the
part
plot.
Part of the plot, yeah. Ooh. Okay.
Ooh.
Author.
Okay. Cheery couple author.
And here's your song. Oh, it's going to be this one. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Cheery couple author. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Ugh. All right. I'm starting with holiday noun. Here we go. Oh, God. Okay.
Scrooge.
I did say I wanted one of the weirder ones. So
and you got it, baby.
Niche. I'm going to double holiday, do a holiday adjective. Wishful.
I like
okay.
that.
Okay. And I will go for, I'm going to do a noun and a job, an assorted noun and a job, just so that I get like, the job will give me some framework for a narrative. We got bakery, but baker's gone.
Yeah.
Bakery is my noun.
Quite a conundrum.
It can't be about a baker.
Well, just the main
okay, yeah, it
can
be about a baker.
Can't
just
have
yeah.
a job.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Princess who works at a bakery?
No, it's web developer.
Oh.
Web developer, Scrooge, Wishful, and Bakery.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
Not to
I have ideas of what they've done.
Okay.
But I'm just gonna formulate a plot here and then I think it'll be all set.
Yeah, I think I mostly figured mine out. I'm just
Okay, I got mine.
Okay. I have mine, I think.
Yeah, I'm just going to wing it again. So,
all right. So for mine, it is going to be a movie entitled We Wish You a Christmas Bake Fest. And what it's going
oh
to be,
God.
It's going to be about one of those female bakers who always shows up in things like this. Mm-hmm. Her name is Beverly Bakerly, and she owns a small town baker with her best friend, Tim Breadbox. And Tim, of course, has strong feelings for her, but is too ashamed to admit them to her. You know, he's constantly doing nice things and being sweet to her and everyone. One's like, Tim, just fess up, grow a pair already and tell Beverly you love her. And he's like, no, I'm a coward and can't do it. But they get to be on a holiday baking competition show similar to Great British Bake Off or some shit like that, where they have to travel to some, you know, wintry small town in the middle of America to compete in a series of baking related challenges. And while she's there, there's all sorts of other bakers and contestants involved. Like there is like this, you know, rude, unpleasant older woman named Lavinia Sourdough, who has won competitions like this for years in the past. And she also meets Chad Hardcrust, who is a young, hot star baker. And she starts to have feelings for Chad Hardcrust. Will Tim be able to confess his true feelings for Beverly before Christmas Day when the competition ends? I'll never tell.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that was incredible. I really enjoyed that. Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
So coming this Christmas on the Hallmark Channel is The Cheeriest Couple Comes to Town. So I think I hit them all. Cheery couple. I wasn't able to fit the job in, but we're going to get there in the description. Okay. So what this one's about is a, you know, like a maybe a what's like the oldest end that they cast for these kind of movies?
Sorry, the what?
What's like the oldest they usually cast for this kind of movie?
In terms of the lead, like how old can the lead be?
Yeah.
I feel like if you're above 40, you're a little long in the tooth.
Probably. Okay. So we're going to say like we're at like doorstep of 40.
Okay.
It's like a very cozy little town that like you almost get the feeling like this place only exists for Christmas for all we see of it. You know what I mean? Because it's otherwise this maybe like very like sleepy, cute, cozy, like ski town. And this woman is an authoress who her high season is Christmas, baby, because that's when her Christmas themed romance novels And
Chris, is this another case where she's like writing a novel that's going to be published on Christmas Eve or something like that?
Exactly.
She's like, I don't have any idea what to write about, though.
Exactly. And her editor's like, you know, this is how the publishing industry works. You just say there'll be a book due.
That's right.
Just wait for that book. And
you email it to us on Christmas Eve. We'll have it out in stores the next morning.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly how it works. Yeah, but she's like, she's been, she has like such intense writer's block. Her mind is just all kinds of scattered. And then this adorable, kindly, impossibly wise and folksy couple just rolls into town. And it's going to be, I was still working out the names when I got called upon, but it's just really maybe some like wink, wink, they're not the Clauses kind of deal, but mm-hmm. like, you know, like, I don't know, like Santiago Claus or whatever.
Santos Claus.
Santos Claus and his.
And his wife,
know,
Mrs.
Mrs. Yeah. La Femme Claus. And
that really sounds like a tawdry Skinamax title from the early 90s. La Femme Claus.
Instead of La Femme Nikita. Yep. And basically, it's like a lot of this is like she's like watching and kind of like really falling under the spell of this like lovely older couple that just seem to be like solving everyone's problems in town and really just inspiring a sense of like Christmas whimsy and wonder. Mm-hmm. But they're finding our main gal is a tough nut to crack because getting that book in by Christmas Eve is really stressful. And she's like, I don't have time for Christmas. I don't have time for love. I need to get this book out. And just through the like kindly advice of these two not Klauses, you know, they basically like set her up with a guy and get her to like eat a cookie. And then she's like, oh, my God, I know what I'll write about.
Cookies.
It'll be about you two.
Aw.
The cheeriest couple. and yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah.
I feel like on its own, the cheeriest couple sounds very much like this could have been a movie in the 1940s or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sort of magical couple rolls into town.
Yes.
Claudia Colbert and yeah. a male lead are
and some guy are the cheeriest couple.
Sort of like an alternate spiritual successor to the Bishop's Wife.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Okay. So I have a theme tonight. This one's called the Wishful the Wishful Bakery Scrooge. The Scrooge in question is the male lead of the film. He runs a bakery, like a famous, or not famous, but like, you know, well-known sort of treasure,
right.
Local treasure of a bakery. The female lead is a web developer who is working on akin to how there are like really stupidly specific Christmas apps. And mm-hmm. like that one lady in the ghost, somebody was working on like an app. A Christmas dating app. Yeah,
we couldn't figure out if it was an already existing dating app that they were just doing like a Christmas
skin, or if it was a exclusively Christmas dating app.
Yes.
And the other one was like Christmas game, etc.
Right. Right.
Or like I think somebody might have had like Christmas gift giving app or something.
That sounds familiar.
So this one is a web developer who's working on a sort of like Grubhub platform, but like but like just for Christmas, like a holiday centric like online ordering thing. And she sort of runs up against this Scroogey baker because he will not, like, he's like adamant about not allowing his like treasured bakery to be like on the app. And it's like it would be like a real coup for like the company and for the app because people love this bakery so much. But he's like, no, I will not like concede to
compromise.
This.
Right.
Yeah. And through her like sort of repeated hounding, I think you could also maybe do some like some similar to the Ghost of Christmas Past / other movies, Secretly Santa / the actual good movies that they're inspired from, Chopper on the Corner. You might be able to get away with some Chopper on the Corner antics here with like him leaving sort of hate comments on the website for the app saying like this app is terrible. And they have like, you know, more intense arguments over the comments than with the feet and sort of like, yeah, like she's trying to answer as like the sort of, you know how sometimes the company answers like, sorry, you had a bad experience. Maybe
right,
you
right.
can help. And she's like, right. No, they're these weird tete-a-tetes back and forth. Maybe you could have some of that, but either way, like, she's trying to, like, maybe she goes there to the baker to do, like, insider info, like, try to get a feel on this guy to see, like, what is going to convince him to do it. And he maybe under this, like, sort of mild rom-com con reveals how, like, damaging some of these companies are to the business, where it's, like, it takes more revenue out of the hands of, like, the restaurant owners, and, you know, causes more problems than it solves for them, and they have, like, reliable, like, delivery drivers they use themselves and their own service, etc. So it's gonna be like an anti Grubhub Uber Eats message.
I love it. Buy local.
That's right.
So I've had like an anti Airbnb sort of anti tourism thing, and I'm gonna have an anti Grubhub.
Oh, who do we come for next?
Yeah, we're coming for Corpse this year on Christmas.
Well, we'll keep that theme for the final one then.
Yeah. So yeah, she'll slowly learn about, like, you know, how, like, what's the sort of reverse side of how, because she is just this idealist developer who says, right, things like, this is going to be great and everyone's going to benefit. And then she realizes, like, you know, how the business model is not good. And maybe because it's like her startup, she can, like, adjust it to find a way to make it, like, more equitable for everyone and make it work. Or just, like, I don't know, get a better job. Developers don't do shit.
Be a baker.
We make stupid technology that's useless half the time. Yeah, be a baker. Join the bakery. But yeah, that's the plot.
I love it.
That's lovely.
You know, we're batting 1,000 here.
Yeah.
All right. So final mega round. So we all pick one thing that we want, and then we'll also, I think we should also do a working woman job though too, of course.
All right. Well, pick one thing. All right. So same order. I'll go last. So okay. Brendan, you go first.
Give me a Christmas song.
I fucking love those songs.
I love my Christmas songs, baby.
Oh, come on. Oh,
I'm on a lag. Okay. Oh, Jolly Old St. Nicholas. Okay.
I was really hoping it was going to be Frosty. It was like, so Jolly Old St. Nick. Chris, you can go.
All right. I want to do holiday adjective, holiday noun.
Whoa. Just pick one.
Well, you only get one.
Yeah, this is the mega one. Yeah.
Versus a collaborative round.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. What has already been chosen?
Song.
We have Jolly Old St. Nick.
Okay. Holiday adjective, please.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. No, abort.
Oh, no.
Traditional.
You
blork.
Okay.
If you guys want to respin, I will.
Respin. Go ahead. Do a respin. It's your Christmas present.
Lame.
Yeah.
That's better.
Okay. Yeah.
Festive. Be a festive.
Festive.
If anything, that could, you know, cover a lot of different things.
That's right.
And then fuck it. We're going to keep it holiday for now. I want something weird. I want Yule Cat. Rush.
Okay. I would have thought it was directly in the middle, but fine.
Jolly Old St. Nick.
St. Nicholas at the Festive Rush Concert. And a job.
Yeah, we got to spin a job.
Yeah, we got to spin a job. I'm just writing it down. So I didn't have any of the others. If she's an event planner.
There it is.
Be perfect. It's a Christmas miracle. She's an event planner.
It is still Hallmark, so it's probably a Rush cover band.
Right, of course. Or a tribute band.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
And it's like the producer's cousin's, you know, like garage band.
It almost feels like you could have like a band of like Christmas themed rockers called Jolly Old St. Nick or something like that, you know? Like,
doesn't like Rush, I feel like they would almost be like, what do the kids like? They like a Rush, like a festive Rush. And yeah, but I like the event planner aspect. Shit, what do we do?
Well, we have to figure out what the title is.
Yeah,
first,
we gotta do a name here. So we got Jolly Old St. Nicholas, Festive, and Rush.
Just in terms of shedding words in the title, you might be able to get away with just swapping Jolly for Festive.
That's true.
Sure.
Like, you start with Festive Old St. Nick, and then you gotta fucking shove Rush in there somehow.
I mean, it could be something like the Festive Old St. Nicholas Rush, where it's like a Running of the Santas type bullshit. You know?
Oh,
oh my god, yeah, it's a running.
I love
it's
that.
It's a Santa. Like running, like a like one of those like
and
charity.
Where everyone's dressed up as Santas, yeah,
and
yeah,
and
she's the planner, obviously.
She's the event planner, maybe of that, but they're hosting also a charity gala to celebrate.
Yeah, at the end, after everyone is gross and sweaty, they have to go to the charity gala.
Well, it's probably not the same people,
no,
right?
I would love if it was, though. It's just like in the middle of the gala, you have all these like dowdy old matronly people that all of a sudden like a bunch of sweaty guys just like collapse on the floor, like, oh my.
So yeah, one of the people is definitely like the sponsored runners, right? The romantic interest.
Definitely.
Yeah. He's got a big, like, sort of sob story. Not necessarily his, but he's running for a very noble personal cause.
Right, of course.
So it's the festival of St. Nicholas Rush.
Yes. And there it is. Baby hair. That's Christmas.
Is it St. Nicholas Rush or St. Nick Rush? And is the guy named Nick?
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I mean, either one works, Henry, right? He could still be Nicholas or Nick either way.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like easily three of these could be things that I could see on the slate next year.
I mean, it's not hard.
No.
This is not a hard job.
Exactly. Yes.
I don't know how you get it.
God.
You know, getting it is one thing, but doing it is simple.
Right. That's the thing. I feel like that is the thing. It's impossible to get this job, but once you have it, it's like, baby.
You're there.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point in your life, you really could probably just give it to ChatGPT and make like, two changes.
I know.
It's a sad thing.
Right now, I just go there. That is like so fucking sad, but so fucking true.
I honestly wonder if that's what happened with those four movies that are about the same company.
Maybe.
There was one on Peacock I watched called like The Christmas Heiress, which was the closest I have ever seen to a movie that truly felt like it was written by ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Yes. Or something like that. Or like The Holiday Heiress, some dumb shit like that. But it was really like, so like just the way events happened and the way characters interacted felt like it was just written by someone who had never like spoken to a person before.
Yeah.
Like this is the future.
Well, that's a good round of game.
That's a good round of game.
I look forward to this game coming back around every year. Since we started doing it, I love it so much.
Yeah, and I'm glad we digitized it. We're so modern now.
And
Lee, you're like
what?
One of those app developers in the movies we always watch.
Yeah, and so it took me so much effort to go to wheelofnames.com.
And you know what? Also, finally, it's going to pay off for us because when they eventually harvest our ideas, we literally have an audio record of us coming up
with them. That's right.
So. Yeah. It's out there.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, we will be back, of course, in 2 weeks with our annual Christmas episode, The Polar Express, at long last, mocap. So be sure to listen in at that point. As always, draftpack.com is the website. facebook.com/whywatchpodcast is our Facebook page. You can find all the old episodes on our website that for some reason don't show up on the other apps, but we are on, to my knowledge, all the other apps too. So Apple Podcasts, Amazon's, whatever the hell Stitcher molted and became. It's all there. So yeah, we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Let's bite out, baby.
Bye.